I fall outside of her. She doesn't notice. I fall outside of her. She doesn't notice at all. And mine is an empty bed. I think she's forgotten. And mine is an empty bed. She's forgotten, I know. Put the brakes on, 'cause I'm fading fast. Can't find the link between me and her. He who was first, coming in last. I fall outside of her. And the trouble is, there's no telling just who's right or who's wrong. Don't tell me that love is all there is. I know, don't I? Don't crowd me, Pappy. Got too much to think about. The game's not lost if I say it's not, and it's not. Give me one more chance to do things right. Don't crowd me, Pappy. Got too much to think about. There's no talking to her, talking to her. I'll keep my thoughts to myself unless I'm asked. ¶¶ like blemishes upon the skin. Truth sets in. At all. And mine is an empty bed. I think she's forgotten. And far from truth, let's secure that reputation. Place the dummy upon the roof, stitch him a tongue, give him proof. Tell him love is all there is. I know, I know. Just pull the wool down over his eyes one more time. Visited for a while. And although I tried to please her, she came at night and stole my visa. Come away now, run away now, little man. You'll not make sense of it, try as you might to understand. Like blemishes upon the skin, truth sets in. Like blemishes upon the skin, truth sets in.
For the last 13 minutes or so, you've been listening to the title track from the new record by David Sylvian called Blemish. And it kind of sets the mood for the entire new record as far as there's some abstract music and a hauntingly lyrical melody that has been imposed upon the abstract music. And that is why we've invited David Sylvian to join us tonight on WAIF. I'm your host, Chris Comer, and for the next few minutes, we'll be talking to Mr. Sylvian. Hello, can you hear me? Hold on a minute. Let's try that. Hello, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very well.
We just played the title track from Blemish, and before we talk about the rest of the tracks on the new record, tell us a little bit about that. It's not unlike the rest of the music you've done in your previous career, but to do an entire record like this may be a little different than some of your past records. There's no drums. The music is fairly abstract, and then the melody is just heart-stopping.
Well, it was I given myself 6 weeks to write and record the material, and so it was something of a discipline to go into the studio each day and find something in the process of improvisation that really dug deep. Blemish was one of the first pieces I worked on. The very first piece was a piece called The Only Daughter. Second piece was Blemish, and it was based around, as all the pieces on the album are, a guitar improvisation. And then I immediately responded to that improvisation by writing a lyric. Whatever seemed to surface at the time, I would follow it and take it to its kind of ultimate course. And I didn't always understand what was surfacing as it surfaced, but I was intrigued by it. And as I said, just kind of went with it and pursued it. And within an hour, within 2 hours, I'd be writing the melody and singing the vocal against the backdrop of the guitar. So it was a very rapid process, not much time for reflection. I just went with what felt right, and it was a very creative period for me. I must say that prior to this time, I'd been working on a lot of retrospective work for the Virgin label prior to parting ways with them. And I was feeling somewhat stifled by the whole process of working on the back catalog and not having the time to work on new material. So when I got into the studio, I wasn't 100% sure what was going to surface, if anything. But once this work started to surface, I felt energized by it and really excited by it.
Well, the first track, Blemish, like I said, it really sets the mood. It sounds like you've got a guitar improvisation with a lot of tremolo on it, and I may be right or wrong, there may be a synthesizer behind it or not, but you recorded the music first, is what you're saying?
Yes, I recorded the guitar track first, followed by the vocal, followed by one or two takes on a synthesizer, and then the rest was done in editing. The rest was created in editing.
And the vocal track you put on top, the melody itself, I don't know what it has to do with the actual music track, the backing track, but it works.
Yes, it does work. It's just the spontaneity of the whole process that made everything gel. It's my response to the emotions that the guitar brought out in me as I was playing it and I was listening back to it. The first phrase was the phrase that set the mood for everything that was to come. And that's generally the way it worked with each track. You know, I'd sit down, and the very first phrase that came to mind would be the one I would pursue.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome again, like I said, to WAIF. It's not the first time we've had you on the show, and we appreciate your time. For those who are not familiar with Mr. Sylvian's career, I believe David started in the late 70s with the group Japan, and in the mid-80s began his solo career and has worked with a lot of different artists, from Ryuichi Sakamoto, Robert Fripp, to many other jazz and rock musicians and so forth. And one of the collaborations on this new record that really surprised me, and I was pleased to find out about it when the press release came out, was Derek Bailey, another favorite musician of mine. You've worked with a lot of different guitar players, including yourself, but talk to us a little bit about working with Derek Bailey, and then I might play the track that you recorded with him.
Okay. I carried the basic concept for the album Blemish around with me for about a year. It's a period of gestation where things begin to fall into place for me emotionally, the landscape I'm going to cover sonically. And during that time frame, I'm listening to other people's work, and occasionally there's some body of work that will resonate with the ideas that I'm working with emotionally, lyrically, what have you. And that was the case when I was thinking about Blemish. I was listening to a lot of Derek's work, and particularly the ballads album that he put out, and was feeling this wonderful connection with his work. And I felt that if Blemish was to see the light of day, Derek would definitely have to be a part of it. There was something in his playing, something in the dislocated spirit of his work that seemed to work very well with what I was intending to do with Blemish. So I got underway with a couple of tracks, recording Blemish, and it still seemed appropriate to me to have Derek's involvement. So I called him and asked him would he be like to take part in it, and he was very up for the challenge and up for setting me a challenge. Really, I said I want a piece of music that challenges me as a writer, as a vocalist, and really that's what he set out to do for me. So he recorded his session in the UK. I wasn't present at the time. He gave me about an hour's worth of material. When I received the material here in the States, I listened through to it, picked out three pieces on first listening that I thought I could work with, and basically responded to them in the same way I was responding to my own guitar improvisations, in that, you know, for second listen I was jotting down lyrics, third listen I was coming up with melody, and you know, by the end of an evening's work, everything was in place, everything was recorded, and it was a wonder. Derek's playing certainly set a wonderful challenge for me. As a writer, I think, trying to come up with melodies that seemed to reflect what he had started out with his improvisations. He alludes to melodies, just one or two phrases, two notes can allude to a whole melody that I'll pick up on and run with. Mm-hmm. And then there's the dynamics of his playing, which are wonderful. And again, I had to respond to that to make the work somehow gel. So it was, as I said, a wonderful challenge. And I'm very pleased with the result.
Now, Derek Bailey is a musician who's known for his collaborations. I've spoken with him about it before, and it's not that he doesn't enjoy playing by himself or practicing, but he really gets off on the interaction between himself and one or two other musicians, and frequently he'll do improvisations with duos and trios. In the case of working with you, I was not aware that it wasn't recorded together, but separately.
It would be impossible to record it together because I actually, you know, outside of bringing a set of lyrics along with me and then just kind of improvising with him, which I don't think would have worked in this context. I'm certainly not an improviser of that standard. So I had to find a means of getting to grips with the kind of improvisation that Derek's involved in that I could respond to in some way. And the only way I could do that was with this time lapse of you know, listening to the work through one time, two times, and then responding with a set of lyrics based on what I was hearing. And that's really why the connection was made more completely for me. And yes, I think it might have been difficult for Derek. There's a number of pieces that are recorded for me which were just off the scale. I couldn't possibly respond to them as a vocalist. But as you hear at the beginning of the track called The Good Son, he reminds himself that this is a track for vocals. You hear him say, for vocals, and then he starts in playing. And he left room for me in that improvisation. And that was that, and it was that kind of consideration that gave me a foothold and allowed me into his world to respond to him as a vocalist.
Well, that's interesting. Let's play that track now. I have it queued up. We'll play The Good Son from the new record, Blemish, by David Sylvian with Derek Bailey on guitar. When we come back, we'll discuss a little further the track and the collaboration and also how it fits in with some of the collaborations you've done with Bill Frisell.
Okay.
So stand by. This is the WAIF and The Good Son by David Sylvian and Derek Bailey.
It's for vocals.
Okay. Okay.
Too far. Always first in line, but second to none. The good son, the good son. Stories riddled with lies. You know the questions are best put aside. Listen to him. Listen closely now. Here he comes. It's a shameful way to behave. It'll hurt if he gets his own way. You know he'll take you, but not too far. Listen closely now. Listen closely now. Here he comes, the good son. He tells himself it's too far to come to redefine his aspirations to be the good son,
the good son,
the good son,
the good son,
the good son, the good son. Don't try to make sense of it. She's here. It's all that you can do to balance up the books for him and you. Nothing in particular, but his game for a fight, he muscles his way in and stays for life. And all the world has come undone, and every family should have one, a good son.
The unmistakable guitar stylings of Derek Bailey and David Sylvian on vocal there. We are rejoined by David Sylvian on WAIF, and I'm your host, Chris Comer. Hello, David.
Hi.
That's an interesting track.
Yeah, like I said, it was a challenge. But yeah, I feel that there was a very strange marriage made between my contribution and Derek's original performance. Somehow it worked.
Well, like you said earlier, I could tell where you would grab a little piece of melody and extract it and extend it and turn it into something that completely would set off the entire track. And you did that several times, if not more, in the course of, you know, the few minutes of that track.
Yes. I mean, everything had to come from Derek's improvisation for me. I mean, there was a spark. It could be a chord, it could be a two-note phrase, and that leads me on. I can take that and extend upon that and resolve it into the next phrase that Derek played. So it was an interesting challenge, but it was very intuitive, you know. It was an immediate response. It wasn't an analytical approach or a cerebral approach. It was very intuitive.
That almost reminds me of how some of the classical composers of the early 20th century would take a serial technique of taking a little fragment of a melody and turning it around and extracting it, turning it backwards and forwards and upside down and inside out and making a piece out of it. And it sounds like you would take little pieces of Derek's improvisation.
That's right. And what was wonderful about Derek's performance is that he never let me become comfortable with where I was leading with the melody. There would always be an interruption or a change of direction, and I'd have to go with him and yet make sense of where I was heading lyrically and melodically, and that was a very interesting challenge to deal with.
Now, in a similar creative vein, or at least it strikes me as it may be similar, you did some work a couple of years ago with Bill Frisell, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you had Bill Frisell come to the studio and record some guitar improvisations, and then you would go back, think about them, extract some melody ideas, and put a vocal track on it.
That was very much the case, yeah. I'd worked on a session with Bill for a couple of days for the Dead Bees album, and at the end of those sessions, I had him improvise a number of pieces on the dobro, because I just adored the sound. I wanted to get more out of it, and he improvised about seven short pieces, And I finally got to grips with about three of those and seemed to make a considered response to the original improvisation.
Well, let's play the first one. This is Dobro number one from Dead Bees on a Cake, the David Sylvian record from 1999. It's not a very long track. We'll play it real quick and then we'll discuss it. We'll be right back on WAIF.
I stole a life with braids of fire, and it rained on my house all summer. There never was any freedom here. All I feared the most came back around, and it rained on my house, and it rained on my house all summer.
You know, we've gotten more rain here in Cincinnati this summer than we usually get.
Yeah, we've had the same deal up here.
Where are you at?
We're in New Hampshire right now.
Oh, I think I read somewhere that you recently moved to New England. How do you like it up there?
Well, we're kind of used to the winters because we're living in Minneapolis for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're used to the harsh winters, and I actually rather enjoy them. It's the summers. I'm a little harder job dealing with the summers because they can be quite intense. But this year it's not been so bad.
We're talking to David Sylvian on WAIF. I'm Chris Comer. And if the listener paid attention to both tracks, they will, of course, notice some similarities between your work with Derek Bailey and your work with Bill Frisell. But they're different at the same time. Maybe the Bill Frisell tracks might be a little bit more lyrical or something. Maybe you could help discern for our listeners what the similarities were between working with Bill and Derek and what the differences were.
Well, it's all about the music. It's all about the original improvisation and responding to it. I mean, Bill's style is more lyrical. There's a more obvious poetry to it, if you like. And so that really, you know, brought out that side of me when I came to work with the material. A more wistful kind of approach, lyrically and melodically. Whereas Derek's is far more strident. And I had to find a means of working with that material that you know did justice to it, I guess, lyrically and melodically again. So it really is just working with what's there, and trying to do it justice and trying to make sense of it. You know, I think you could, as you're listening to the piece there with Bill. I mean, everything is suggested in his playing, and I'm really just kind of. Joining the dots, really. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm suggesting where the next chord might go, but it was all there, and I'm just tying it all together somehow.
In the case of these pieces, the melody or the vocal track suggests what the harmony would be more than the guitar does, even though the guitar has more strings and thus more notes to play per chord. But it seems like your vocal tracks is what suggests what the harmonic progression might be if there were a harmonic progression.
That's true, but that's something that one begins to feel after the fact, you know, when one's working with the original material. That's not so. I mean, you're really working with what you've been given, and you're trying to get into the heart of the piece and somehow make sense of it. You know, if Bill's moved from, you know, this chord to the next, you have to try and, but there's a slight pause between that chord and the next. He knowing full well that I'm going to make a vocal contribution, then I have to make sense that it makes that chordal progression with the melody that I then lay on top. But it's actually, because it is already present and I'm working with a given, you know, it's Bill's playing that has suggested where I go to make that resolve, if you like, to move from A to B.
Now
does that make sense? I hope that makes
sense. Perfect sense.
Okay.
Now that the tracks have been completed and given the way that they were completed that you have described, where the guitars were recorded first, the vocals overdubbed later, what do Derek Bailey and Bill Frisell, today I want to talk more about Derek Bailey, how do they feel that the tracks came out? How do they like the results?
You know, yes, they do. I was a little worried that Derek wouldn't maybe connect with the results, you know, because it's really not in keeping with the principles of improvisation in its purest sense. And I thought maybe he might have a problem with that, but he didn't. He was delighted and surprised by the work and intrigued. So yeah, he's really happy with the results.
Well, Derek works with a lot of different people, and not everybody he works with is always the quote-unquote avant-garde. So I would expect Derek to have a favorable opinion of anyone who has a creative contribution to a collaboration with him.
Well, that seems to be the case.
Sometimes he works with a Japanese pipa player or a funk musician from Philadelphia, and the results are always astounding with that guy.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of Derek. I mean, he's just so in tune with what he does. And he's so in tune with the moment when he's playing. I mean, there's a genius in that. You know, you just don't find, and also, you know, just the level of commitment to each performance. I have to say, in the hour or so material that he gave me, there was commitment all the way through. You know, there was not one moment where you didn't feel he was giving his all, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, I can say that doesn't happen very often.
Well, we could probably talk about some other things for the remainder of the hour, but later on tonight on the radio, I will play some tracks from some of Derek Bailey's records. If anyone sticks around, they'll get a feel for some of the things Derek does. I'll play some tracks a little later. We're talking to David Sylvian, whose new record is called Blemish, and it's being released on his own label. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Samadhi Sound your label?
It is, yeah.
And this is David's first release that's not on Virgin Records or another major label, I think, in your career. Is that true?
Yes, that's right.
Well, this is also a first record in my eyes for you, because all of your other records have had, to a varying degrees, some kind of a band feeling or a group collaboration where you had, you know, drums, bass players, trumpets, and so forth. But this record is far more abstract than most of your records. And how is the record abstract and creative and different than all your others because you're striking out on your own without a label? Does that have anything to do with the creative process behind the new record?
It may have done, subconsciously. I think that, you know, working with a major label, that the limitations that they'd like to impose upon you may play into your subconscious when you're creating work. It's certainly not something that I was aware of consciously. I always tried to maintain absolute artistic control of everything that I did. But there is that element of awareness that you are ultimately going to be bringing this work to a major label who are then going to kind of look at you blankly and say, well, what are we going to do with this? You know, well, they often did that anyway with my work. But I think Blemish would have been quite a challenge for a major label like Virgin to get to grips with. So it may have given me a kind of subconscious liberation, sense of absolute freedom. I can do whatever I want. I'd also taken time out to build my own studio up here in New Hampshire. And so I had as much time as I needed to get the work right. I had the time to fail, if necessary. And I don't think you're given that opportunity when working within a budget with a major label and commercial studios and all the rest of it. So, you know, there was that sense of newfound freedom as well.
It's easier to be creative when you're not spending $150 an hour plus pizza, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How's the record been received so far? It's only been out, I think, about a month and a half or so at this point. But how's it been received? And is it only available on the internet, or can we get it at stores near here?
You can. There are some stores that are picking it up. I couldn't tell you which. You think you get the best deal on the internet if you go to davidsylvian.com. But I think it definitely is available from select stores. So what was the first part of your question?
I was just asking, how has it been received so far?
Oh, it's really funny. I mean, I think I've had some of the best reviews of my entire career. I mean, it's been really well received so far. It's been very encouraging.
And except for some of the instrumental records you've done, it seems to be the most daring. I mean, is that a fair thing to say or not?
It's because of the minimalist approach and because of the lack of obvious structure forms, if you like. Yeah, it is somewhat of an experimental approach to songwriting, and this all could just simply be a coincidence in terms of the timing. I'd worked on, as I said earlier, a lot of retrospective material prior to leaving Virgin, and I was really done with certain forms that I'd been working with for many, many years, and not just in my own work, but also in the work of other artists that I've admired and listened to over the years, that I've gone to back to their work time and time again and again for sustenance. I began to become kind of tired with the familiar forms, and I felt a need for a new language with which to get to grips with the familiar material. And this, in a sense, was my first attempt to find a new vocabulary, if you like, to deal with this familiar subject matter. I mean, I think there are times in history where there is a greater sense of urgency that things must change, and that can run through, you know, the spectrum. I mean, from politics, religion, to the arts. There can be a moment in time where you get the sense that now is the time. It's a turning point, is a pivotal moment where things must change and change radically. And I began to feel that about songwriting, that it was tired, and it had been certain forms had been exploited for way too long, and like language, it was losing its meaning, and therefore they no longer worked. So it became imperative to find a new way of dealing with this subject matter, and this, in a sense, was my first attempt at doing that.
Now, is the new record Blemish by David Sylvian any indication of what your next project or the next one after that may or may not sound like?
Hard to say. It's always hard to say. It's always hard for me to predict what the next project will be. Although, having said that, the project I was working on just prior to Blemish and am continuing to work on is a project with my brother, Steve Jensen, and that's going to be far more electronically based, far more rhythmically orientated, but it will have elements of this approach of using improvisation in the recording process, particularly where the lyrical and vocal content is concerned.
Your drummer, your brother Steve Jansen, is a drummer, and he was the drummer in your band Japan.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to make sure our listeners know who we're talking about here. And you've collaborated with him on and off ever since Japan broke up, correct?
That's right. Yeah. After we got together in the late 80s, early 90s, and made a recording together under the name of Raintree Crow. But we hadn't really worked together since that time, up until 2 years ago when Steve came on tour with me. And we just felt that now was the time to sort of rekindle that collaboration. And it's been going very well. It's been very interesting trying to map out new territory that is unique to this particular collaboration, and we're taking time with it, and we're taking time to, I mean, there's a lot of electronics involved, so there's something of a learning curve involved getting to grips with the technology, but you know, we've allowed ourselves the time to fool around and make, as I said before, make mistakes, go shoot off in different directions, then pull back and say, you know, no, this is where we should be focusing our energies, and the project's beginning to take shape.
You and Steve are currently planning a tour of shows in Europe, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. It's really in support of the Blemish album.
Okay. Are you going to be doing some of the songs from Blemish with Steve?
Yes.
And some of the new material, I would imagine?
You know, we're going to hold back from that for now, because I think that's material that really should be performed with the band.
I see. And the new tour with Steve is going to be accompanied by visual images and some film. Is that correct?
That's right. We have a Japanese musician and visual artist by the name of Takagi who's coming out and creating a live mix of visual images for the shows.
And these shows will all be in Europe, so none of our audience will be able to take part in them.
Unless, I mean, we're talking right now about potentially touring with King Crimson when they move through the States. That's a possibility, but it's certainly not certain at this point in time.
I guess my last question for you would be, what else is next? You're working with Steve. Is there any other future projects you'd like to let us know about at this time or not?
Well, I've been recording with Ryuichi Sakamoto again. We've just put a new single together, which I think we'll see. I think we'll be released before the end of the year, and I'm quite excited about that. I've been working with Chris Brenner again, and I'm working further with Christian Fernandez, who also makes an appearance on the Blemish album, and I'm excited about those projects too.
Well, that's a good segue, because I have queued up Fire in a Forest, and I would like you to discuss the track. We opened the show with the title track from Blemish, not only because I thought it set the mood for the new record, but it would set the mood for tonight's program. Well, I want to close with Fire in a Forest. It was the first track I heard from the new record when it was released on the internet, and it was my first taste of the new sound. And you do a collaboration with Christian Fernandez on it. Could you talk to us a little bit about Fire in a Forest?
As I said earlier, you know, carrying the notion for the album around with me for almost a year, there were certain connections I was making with other bodies of work. And I was listening to a lot of the digital cut-up electronic music and feeling that was certainly a taste, a sonic territory that I would like to tap into for my album, but I hadn't made a commitment to a particular artist. And Christian sent me some of his work. I was unfamiliar with it up until that point. Invited me to collaborate with him in future on one of his projects. And as soon as I heard it, I knew that was the connection I was looking for. There was a cerebral aspect to that work, but there was also an emotional integrity to it that is often missing in that genre of music. So I was immediately drawn to his work and welcomed the chance to work with him. And I'd just written this piece of Fire in the Forest, and it was a very simple piece, and I felt it was very whimsical, it was a very emotional piece, a very sad piece of music, but I wanted so much more to be suggested in the arrangement of the music. I thought this would be an ideal start to a collaboration with Christian, so I sent him the track and said, "Do with the track what you will. And try and find the emotional heart of it. You can deconstruct it all you like." And he basically kept the structure of the piece intact, but his arrangement, his electronic arrangement, is this thing. You know, this is a really beautiful piece of music, and really set the stage for the emotional complexity of the lyric and the vocal performance.
Well, we'll play Fire in the Forest now, because I think our listeners will enjoy it. Thanks again for taking the time to talk to us here in Cincinnati. David Sylvian, the new record is called Blemish. It's on the Samadhi Sound record label. Look for it at davidsylvian.com or at all the upscale record stores near you. And again, David, thanks a lot for taking the time. We'll have to do this again.
It's always my pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
All right. This is Fire in the Forest from Blemish by David Sylvian.
Sunshine above the gray sky, I will try to find it. Yes, I will try. Has been wondering, I hardly noticed. It's running on its own steam.
I let it go. Oh, here comes my childhood, a penny for your secrets. It's standing in the window, not out here where it belongs. There's a fire in the forest, it's taking down some trees. When things are overwhelming, I let them be. I would like to see you, it's lovely to see you. Take me somewhere, come take me out. There is always sunshine far above the gray sky. I know that I will find it. Yes, I will try. Yes, I will try. Yes, I will try.